In the middle of the longest parak of Nesilas Yesharim, Parak Yud Aleph, and each week we'll pick up in the middle of it, and I'll try to give like a small recap. So within the Midah of Nikiyos, which is in English defined as cleanliness, so really it happens, it's kind of like perfection from the Yetzer Hara. Not so catchy, but that's kind of the way we're describing it. And when it comes to that, so there are certain areas where a person has a stronger yetzer hara, and one of those areas we were discussing last week, and we're going to continue to discuss all of tonight, is the midah, is not the midah, but the avera of geneva, gezela, of theft. And not necessarily the most classic overt cases of theft. Maybe yes, but not necessarily that, but even in smaller areas where we tend to rationalize, and that's the most difficult component from hindering our nikias. So the previous line that was said right before this was how if a person commits any avera ben adam l'chavera, and certainly theft is could be a common one, then a person isn't even forgiven on Yom Kippur unless the person they stole from forgives them. So he says, "V'lo od." Not only that, "Ela shafilim asa mitzvah bezman malachto." Let's say a person ended up gaining profit, gaining money from theft, and now they take that money and they perform a mitzvah with it. Let's say they give tzedakah, and there is a big halacha question about receiving tzedakah funds from money that is not necessarily the cleanest money. That is a shayla. And so that's separate from here in a sense, because that's the recipient. But over here, the kulei alma, I mean, it says that the person giving the money, if the money was attained through an avera, then there's no mitzvah involved. He says, lo elo shafilim asa mitzvah zman malachta, if he does a mitzvah with this, lo tzedakah techashev lo, meaning it's not a mitzvah. He thinks he's doing a mitzvah, but he's getting an avera. Because this was done, even though it's a mitzvah, it was done through an avera. And the pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perach Samach Aleph Pasachet, says, Sone gazel be'ola, that Hashem hates the person like who gives a korban through theft. And it's noted here in the footnote that it doesn't just say that Hashem doesn't accept it, right? That's a much more passive way of writing it. It's still a bad thing, of course, that a person gives a korban where the animal was stolen and Hashem doesn't accept it, but it says Hashem hates it, right? It's a much stronger lashon. Regarding this, Chazal say, that if a person, let's say, steals a lot of ingredients to make bread, and they make bread with this, and they make a bracha hamotzi on this bread, that person is not reciting a real bracha, rather that person is blaspheming God. Very intense line. Dasiv, what's the source? Pass again to Hillim Yud. The robber who says a bracha, nietz Hashem, that person is blaspheming the name of God. There's a concept. We have this quoted in Pirkei Avos, Perek Dalid, Mishnah Yugimel, that every time a person does a mitzvah, they create a malach who's their defense attorney in Shemayim. The day when I was preparing this, I was thinking about the intensity of this, and also, I'll finish my thought, and the person also, when they commit a sin, they create a malach who's going to be their prosecutor in Shemayim. Who's going to say, look what you did, I saw what you did. And I was thinking in my mind, just imagine for a second, it's a scary thought. Imagine, hopefully, many, many thousands, hopefully hundreds of thousands or millions of malachim there on your side to say, you did this mitzvah, I'm here to defend you. But the scary thought are the thousands of malachim who are going to be there saying, I saw and I'm in aid that you did this avera. I was created by this avera. It's a very intense thing. And so here he's saying that it's an intent, it's a terrible thing, because here the person thinks they're committing, they're doing a mitzvah, performing a mitzvah, and they think they're creating a malach that's going to help them in Shemayim on the day they're judged. But really, it's actually going to be the person prosecuting them. And that's the line, Oy lo, woe is to the person, shenase sanigoro kategoro, who's going to make his defense attorney the prosecutor. That's what it's saying. Kamamam zachon lebrachov inyam lulav hagazel. This concept and the whole parak in Sukkah entitled Lulav HaGazel, based on that Mishnah at the beginning of that parak, I believe third parak, third or fourth. And the whole concept of if you shake a lulav that was stolen, you don't get a mitzvah. Right? Just like we're discussing here. And he says, continues, I have the adin, no saying, and logic dictates, ki hare gezel chifetz gazel, the gezel's man gazel. There's two types of theft. There's stealing an item, and there's also stealing time. You can steal time from a person. Right? I remember hearing a story that is a crazy thing. That there are people, of course, who were, every time you have someone who's popular, who's famous, in whatever category. So there are always people that hate on them, always people that disagree. And not just disagree respectfully, but disagree disrespectfully. And even in the realm of tzaddikim, Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there was people who were very upset with Rav Moshe, and I remember hearing a story that they used to call his house in the middle of the night just to, like, disturb him, just to wake him up. Like, crazy. Right? So that's Gezel Zman in a certain sense in my mind. Like, that's what I thought of when I hear stealing time, right? Imagine being woken up in the middle of the night because someone's upset with your psak or something. Crazy. Ma gozel tachifet voseh bo mitzvah nase senegar kategoro. Just as when you steal an object from someone, so you're turning, and you do a mitzvah that you're turning your defense attorney into your prosecutor. Af gozel tazman voseh bo mitzvah nase senegar kategoro. So if you steal time, and if you recall from last week, we were discussing a lot about a work ethic and how when a person is at work, that they're expected to clock in the 9 to 5, whatever it may be. Some of you may have like 8:30 to 7, I don't know, your work schedules. And obviously we also discussed that nowadays things are more loose and it's understood that you have time for yourself, more time than they had certainly in time of Chazal. But nonetheless, we shouldn't be too lenient with that and too act too nonchalantly about that. Because people are certainly, definitely too lenient and spending too much time on their own stuff. And that's what he's discussing here, where a person steals time, and that's also an avera. The Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu chafetz ela b'emuna. Hashem only desires emuna. Now, I believe it's being discussed here, the concept of emuna, because when we speak about, if you speak about theft in general, what are you saying? You're saying, I am lacking something. Let's say you steal a physical item. I need that. I never got that. I need that to be mine. And a person who has emunah would believe, what I have is from Hashem. And if I don't have it, then I'm not meant to have it. So that's why I think it's brought. And also certainly when it comes to just stealing time, like we were discussing, like a person just this diligent and has faith, or we're going to be discussing right now a little more in detail related to business, certainly people who try to cut corners and feel that I need to do this, otherwise my competitors are going to win out. So that person, of course, is showing a lack of emunah in Hashem. Hashem says, I just want emunah. That's what I want. V'chein hu omer, it says, Pasuk in Tehillim, emunim noter Hashem. Hashem safeguards and protects those who have emunah. The Omer, Pischu sha'arim v'yavo goy tzadik shomer emunim. Open the gates, and in comes the righteous nation, shomer emunim, and I will protect those who have emunah. I'll safeguard those people who have emunah. The Omer, Einai, Hashem's eyes, b'nemnei eretz ha'sheves yimadi. Hashem's eyes are on the faithful, those people with emunah, and say, you should reside with me, you should live with me. The Omer, Pasuk Yirmiyahu, Hey Gimel, Einecha halo le'emunah. My eyes are turned towards those with emunah. It's It was, let me see something. That's pointed out here, a footnote from the Simchas Mordechai, which says that these four psukim related to Emuna, it's not just random where he's quoting four different psukim, but he says that there's actually a progression here. If there's a lack in understanding the progression, it is my translation in the way I translated the psukim. But here's what he says. The first states that he safeguards those who are faithful. May Hashem safeguard those who are faithful, those who have Emuna. The second adds that Hashem opens the gates of his abode for the keepers of faithfulness. The third adds that he actually looks for the faithful to dwell with him. And the fourth adds that Hashem seeks only the faithful. That's only the ones who Hashem wants. So just an interesting idea based on the psukim. He says, Ve'af Iyov heid al atzmo v'yamar. Iyov testified about himself in Paraklam and Aleph Pasuk Zayin and said, Im tite ashuri, if my steps veered away mini hadarach, from the path, v'achar enai halach libi, and my eyes gazed after or followed my heart, meaning in general you want your heart to lead the way, and here your eyes led the way, led in front of your heart, v'chapai davak me'um, and my hands clung me'um, clung the property of someone else. He says meaning me'um, and then I'm not gonna have anything. Like things are gonna be. If someone else is anything from someone else's property clung to my hands, so then the pasuk continues. Doesn't quote the rest of the pasuk here, but the pasuk continues. Or Eov says, then may I sow and let another eat. Like I'm gonna work hard in the field, and someone else is gonna have that food, and may my produce be uprooted. So Eov says, if I do those things, those three things, then I don't deserve to gain any benefit from what I worked for. It's interesting that when I was reading this, and I was learning this straight, I assumed that these are three different types of sins. That first you have veering from the path, whatever that means. I mean, it means a lot of things, but veering from the mitzvot, whatever. Then you have someone who follows his eyes and not his heart. Then you have someone who steals. That's the way I thought. But we're actually going to see now, just keep this in mind, we're going to see that it's actually all talking about theft. And it'll be explained. He says, "V'habit, contemplate yifi hamashal hazeh." You should really contemplate and look at the beautiful mashal that Iyov is giving. That it's not just random things that he's saying. Kidima hagazel habilti nigle kedavar hamistabek biyad hada. That he compares small theft to, or subtle theft to, a person who has and whose someone else's possession clung to him, where that terminology, he's implying that it's used almost like by accident. Like, oh wow, I have my friend's pencil, like I didn't realize I took it. I thought I was taking mine. Says Apal P Shein Adam Holdech Lichatchila Litol Oso Vinishar Davik Me'ilav, that even though a sensible person doesn't deliberately go and take it, and somehow it accidentally becomes attached to him. Sof biyadahu. Nonetheless, in the end, it's in his hand. He's the one holding it. Kein hadavar hazeh. So too is this thing. Sha'af shalo yeh ha'adam holich v'gozal mamish. Even though the person is not going out and stealing, explicitly stealing outright. Let's use the example of stealing time, right? It's not, someone wouldn't think, oh wow, that person's a ganav. We wouldn't call that person a ganav, a person who spent an extra 10 minutes at work on his email, right? So, he says, sha'af kena davar azeh, sha'af shalu ya adam holdech v'gozal mamish, though he's not stealing explicitly, ka shehushi ya yada v'rikanios mimenu legamre. That it's very difficult for that person, though, to be totally honest and scrupulous when it comes to their business dealings. That in the end, when you just practice, you're saying you practice business, that something's going to stick to you. Your friend's other possessions, meaning you're gonna mess up. It's a very difficult thing. Obviously, these mashalim that we're seeing, they apply to different areas to each and every one of our lives and every one of our jobs. Not every person is someone who's like a classic merchant in the time of the Gemara, but certainly we could each try to take away whatever it is for our own professions. And he says, Amnam, be'emes kol zeh nimshach mima shetachas heyos halev moshal beinayim, shol yaneach liyos nam lahem eshel acherim. That a person, of course, should always make sure to follow their heart over their eyes, and to make sure to, like, when it comes to someone else's property that's appealing, but when your eyes lead the way, then your eyes are trying to, like, rationalize what you want and tell your heart what to do. Alkein Amar Ehov, and therefore Ehov said, Shehu lochein asa velo halach libo achar enav. Ehov said, so I didn't veer from the path. That was the first part of his line. And he said, and I made sure not to have my eyes lead my heart. Saying, because the whole idea related to theft is that if there's something I want, then I'm going to rationalize it and end up stealing. Not necessarily so overt, but my friend's stuff is going to be attached to my hand, like he's saying. Like, it's inevitable that it'll lead to that. Alkein lo davak b'chapav me'um, as he concludes over here. So that's why understanding that line is that it's all related to Gezel. So if I veer from the path of not being proper in terms of the way I think, the way I view things, my muna, then I'm going to end up, and if I follow my eyes over my heart, then I'm going to end up attaching my friend's property to my hand. My friend's property is automatically going to be attached to my hand. And he says, and continues, let's continue and see the concept of hona, about financial wronging. He says, how easy is it for a person to be enticed and to stumble where it could occur, kasher lechor yira lo, that it could occur when at first glance it seems, shavoy lishtad liyapos choraso b'enei hanashim, that a person wants to enhance their merchandise, they want to make more money, have more products. Lishtaker b'yagia kapav, they want to just work harder and have greater profit. L'daber alev hakone l'man yitratza lo, that he's going to end up encouraging a potential buyer to agree to buy from him. You want to convince the people who are shopping by your store. You want to convince them to shop by you and to buy what you have. And so he says that when it comes to this idea of hona, of financial wrongdoing, that of course your goal is you want profit. He's going to explain the difference between doing it in a proper way and doing it in an improper way. If you want profit, you want more merchandise, you want to sell, and you want to make sure to do your best to convince someone to buy your product. V'yomru al kol zeh, and you say about this, in Pesachim, daf nun am beis, yesh zaris v'niskar. It's great. Yeah, we learned all about the rizos together, right? A person should work hard and be zaris, right? To go quickly, to do their best, work hard, to gain profit, to gain money. That's great. That's not a bad thing. And it continues, it says in Mishlei, in Parakir Pasuk Dalet, V'yad Charutzim Tashir, that the hands of those who are diligent, a diligent worker, will become rich. That's not a bad thing. He says, Amnam, however, Im lo yidaktik v'yishkol masav harbe, if a person isn't exact, and doesn't weigh their actions carefully, basically, tachas chita yetze choach, that under the wheat which is a good thing, is going to grow thorns. That you're going to end up messing up and causing some rotting in your internal system. Ki avor ba'avon ha'ona asher huzharnu aleha, because violating this ona that you are warned about in the Torah, where it says in Vayikra kafe yedzayin, v'lo sonu ishes amiso, a person shouldn't cheat his friend. The Amr Zuchran Lebracha, Afilu L'Ramas Hagoy Aser, even to cheat and to mislead a non-Jew is aser. Ukraksiv and the pasuk in Tzfanya Gimel Yogimel says she eris Yisrael lo yasu avla, that and people Bnei Yisrael shouldn't do something that's corrupt. Velo yidabru chazav, they shouldn't speak falsehood. Velo yimate b'fihem l'shon tarmis, and they shouldn't say anything deceitful that comes out, that's emitted from their mouths. V'chein amru and bav mitzian das samach amar aleph, going out on base. Ein mifarkasin es hakelim hayeshanim she'irau kachadashim. A person, a merchant, is not able to polish their old stuff to make it look like it's brand new. Right? Imagine if you were selling something that's refurbished and you told them that it's actually a new product. It's never been used. Right? So that's terrible. Right? The most classic thing, which I don't think could actually be done, but you always see this in movies when it comes to used car salesmen, where they try to pull back, I believe it's the odometer is what it's called. Someone could correct me if I'm wrong. You can write in the chat what it's called, but I think it's the odometer when it comes to how many miles are on the car. Right, so I remember in the movie Matilda, her father was doing that and tried to take it off. Also in Ferris Bueller, they attempt it, but it doesn't work. In case you all might be curious in movies on doing that. I'm sure there are more. Those are just two makoros. Im arvin peros beperos afilu chadashim bachadashim. A merchant isn't allowed to even exchange new fruit that you have for new fruit that someone else has. Right, so let's say someone comes and they want to buy from you. They see 10 shiny apples. I want 10 nice apples. And you exchange it for 10 shiny apples from someone else. You might think, what's the big deal? Afilu sa'ar b'dinar. Even if one is more expensive than the other, you're still not allowed to do it. Afilu yafta dinar trises lo ya'ar v'yikrim sa'ar b'dinar. And he says, even if the other are more expensive, because maybe this person for some reason wanted the ones that were cheaper. They didn't want that. And here's what he saw, here's what he paid for, so you have to give them that. Right? So these are such small examples of times where you might think, like, what's the person doing that's wrong? And that's his whole point, is that we don't realize how many laws there are related to Gezel that a person could violate, where it comes in and it's small, but that creates erosion within us that could potentially lead to us violating something that's big. Kol osa, meaning it could be that these are big things also. Kol osa ele, kol osa ava. Pasuk in Devarim Kafei Tetzayin warns us about this. Karei chamisha shemos, that there's five names, five labels related to a person violates this stuff. Ava, sana, mishuka, tcherem, toeva. A person who's corrupt, the person is corrupt, the person is hated, the person is disgusted, the person is banned, and the person is an abomination. Right? All really bad terms for a person who cheats in business. I think there's a good place to stop, because I have a longer paragraph than it's here. There's a good place to stop. I'm going to stop the recordings.